Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Right now, get up to 20% off select online storage solutions. Put heavy-duty HDX totes to good use, protecting what's important to you. The solid, impact-resistant design prevents cracking. And the clear base and sides make items easy to find, even when the totes are stacked. Find select online shelving and tote storage up to 20% off at the Home Depot to organize every room in your home, from your garage to your attic. Visit HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done.
The world moves fast. Your workday, even faster. Pitching products, drafting reports, analyzing data. Microsoft 365 Copilot is your AI assistant for work. Built into Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and other Microsoft 365 apps you use. Helping you quickly write, analyze, create, and summarize. So you can cut through clutter and clear a path to your best work. Learn more at Microsoft.com/M365 Copilot.
Welcome to the Huntivore Podcast, powered by Sportsman's Empire, where we celebrate the hunting and fishing lifestyle through the utilization and consumption of our wild game. No egos.
Fork in hand, beer in the other.
No status.
A piece of red meat on a hot grill and turn it into a burnt offering.
Just catch it, cut it, cook it.
This is episode 143, Maximize Your Turkey Yield. On this episode of Huntivore, Nick takes his expertise to wild turkey. Coming from the domestic poultry world, Nick breaks down getting the most yield through several systematic steps. Nick stays in the processing lane here, not getting too distracted by recipes quite yet. He lays out gutting, aging, plucking, and processing the bird, not just into a whole finished bird, but into several broken down variations, spatchcocked, halved, parts and pieces, and even 50-50 white meat, dark meat, ground turkey. Lots of talking turkey on this episode of Huntivore.
Hey folks, beautiful afternoon here in Michigan. I tell you what, the sun is shining, we've got warm temps, it is springtime. Spring, I tell you what, as we get excited for that, it brings a flood of opportunities for foragers and for hunters. So I know one of them, as things warm up, Fiddleheads and nettle shoots. Those are going to be on my radar here soon. I know I missed it last year, getting on the early nettles. I got them too old, so I'm hopefully going to get those this time, a little earlier. Morels is going to be something that we're going to be really diving into deep. Doesn't mean I'm going to find them, but maybe I can find someone to take me along with. Coming up here very soon is going to be wild hogs that have been fattened up with the new greenery. Taking a trip back down to Oklahoma, seeing our good buddy John of the Oklahoma podcast. We'll have more on that as things continue on, but I've been lucky enough to be able to be invited back down. I've done my due diligence with preparing some stuff, so we're actually going to be taking a little pork back down to show off what you can do with wild hog. But the big thing on people's minds right now, our turkeys, our thunder chickens, are those big birds that seem to play chess with hunters every year. Trying to get in close, trying to be able to put one down, takes skill, takes cunning, and takes perseverance. And as guys are out there getting up there, some of them are going to be going with a bow. I know my friend Adam Miller and his crew are going to be trying to take one down with a bow. They've gotten close, and I believe they've taken them. I know John, his co-host, has taken one with a bow. I'm not sure if if Adam has taken one yet with a bow, but I'm sure he's going to darn well try. So he'll be doing that. But we're only given a small window of time with these turkeys. Being able to get after them, it really does feel like a small window. You got to get on top of your bird, and you got limited bag limits. At some points, it's usually one bird that you can get. That's your tag, is one bird. In other instances, some states will allow two, some areas allow two, but you're looking at a lot of investment into just that one animal. You need to do a lot of scouting. These things are jittery, are jumpy. You want to talk about some of the sharpest eyes in the woods, it's going to belong to those wild turkeys. You want to talk about jittery, you want to talk about on edge, that's what these wild turkeys are, because not just people, not just hunters are after these things. Everything that consumes meat would love to get a hold of one of these delicacies just scratching around the woods. So you best bring your A game. And so when you do bring your A game, you're looking to bait. You want to get as most as you can out of these animals. I know there is a small group of people that take a page out of the worst waterfowlers that are out there. They're going to open up that breast, they're going to take out the lobes, and they're going to call it good. While that is a very quick way, I feel like there's a lot to be had left on that bird. And that's not just including the dark meat at that point. There's still a lot that you can glean off that bird. You can go a little bit further, and you can skin that bird and take off the skin, the feathers, everything out of your way. You don't even have to deal with it. You are left with all of that meat, but now you've culinarily given yourself a little bit of a disadvantage, because that natural fat that would be on that turkey is right underneath that skin. Keeping the skin on both the breast and the thighs and the legs is going to be what continues to keep that natural moisture in. That natural fat is what you want, and it's going to be located under the skin. Maybe not in all areas of the skin. They're going to be pretty thin. But as they begin to fatten up and they start searching around, they're going to be really trying to put down as many calories as possible, especially those hens. They're trying to make sure they get enough energy set up to develop those eggs. We're going to start seeing some fat being built up on them. And same thing with the toms. Toms are going to be trying to get as much fat on them as possible. So we want to take advantage of their work and keep the skin on. Yeah, so by skinning them, you culinarily put yourself in the corner to have a rough time. Today, my goal is, I mean, I am going to continue to try to persuade you to go that extra effort to not just think of your product as getting the bird right now, getting your trophy then, but to even think of the further trophy of what you're going to bring to said table. And so I'm going to be persuading you on that. But at the same time, I've got 8 steps that I'm coming out for full maximize usage of your turkey. You're going to want to get as much off this bird as you possibly can because of the investment. Your hard work is worth it. Your effort deserves as much as you can get. And by taking these steps, some of them maybe are going to cost you just a little bit of time. But for this end-all be-all of the product that you're going to get on the backside of this, ultimately, it's going to pay off in dividends. And so that's why I'm going to encourage you to continue to try and glean as much as you can. So, step one. This one, I'm actually going to leave this one up to you. You're going to have your choice in many different variations to do this, and that is going to be to shoot your bird. I don't claim to have a lot of pointers on this one. As I was sitting at my son's basketball practice, I was feverishly writing down talking points for this whole subject. And honestly, if I show you on here, if you're on YouTube, you can see it. Again, yeah, we have a YouTube page. You see step one, shoot the bird. Up to you. You figure it out. Ironically, I don't take as much time. This time of year, I dedicate to the kids. I dedicate to the forage. Now I've got my new passion for wild hog. But being part of the domestic turkey world, turkey, in the setting that I have it kind of the way that I want it. The way that my family does it is just the way that I like it, and I'm going to keep it that way. Now, if someone were to bring me a bird and say, hey, I need help with my wild turkey, or I need to, you know, glean more out of this, absolutely, I'd be glad to give a hand. But when it comes to shooting that bird, pursuing that bird, I'm going to leave that totally up to you. Is it going to be in a blind? Is it going to not be in a blind? Are you really that hardcore? Are you going to do it with a shotgun? Hopefully you're patterning that shotgun, because again, the best shot you can take is with that shotgun is at that head, trying maybe not to leave as many pellets in the neck as possible. And we'll talk a little bit about neck later. If it's with an arrow, hopefully not putting it through the breast lobes themselves, but getting it into that pump house, being able to shut that bird down and leave him down where he lay, that he try not to get up and take off on you or continue to flap and find his way to hide in the brush. You want to be able to recover that as soon as possible. So yeah, you get to decide how you want to take care of the shooting process. Step two, this is where I can help in. And we want to go with a good gutting or an evisceration, if you call it. By really getting in there and pulling everything out, you're going to end up cooling this bird back down quickly as possible. I'm going to mention an article here in just a little bit that talks about in some of our smaller birds leaving the gut in for an age. When it comes to turkeys, how big they are, they have a lot of body heat. We do want to get that body heat back down. And the best thing we can do is to empty out that cavity. We want everything out of there. What I'm doing is I'm flipping the bird so he's on his back. So back out, wings splayed out, and they don't have they have an anus, but they don't have necessarily what mammals have as far as what's going on there. It's referred to as a vent. In the domestic world, I've always known it called a vent, or a cloaca. And that cloaca, it serves a lot of different functions. It's the in and out of a lot of things with those birds. And that's going to be your major entrance spot. What I want to do is around that vent, I'm actually going to just like I'm doing with a deer, if I stick my tip of my thumb in, and that's going to give me a way to be able to pull that skin taut, because this is where I'm going to make my insertion point. I can pull that taut, and then I want to make 2 semicircle cuts around that vent. I essentially want to circle that vent. One way I can do to keep it clean as possible is the little feathers that are around there. They're not too big. They're not too thick and prevalent there in the vent area. You can pluck those out pretty easily by hand. Just giving yourself a clean enough area that you're not going to get any feathers going inside once you make this cut. So semicircle right, semicircle left with your knife, and that's going to leave your vent free. You're going to be able to pull that out. I would then take my blade, flip it so that the blade is now facing me, and I would run my blade up the belly section of the bird. That's going to give me a little bit more of an opening. I only want to be able to fit in my fist. I don't want to bring it all the way up to the sternum at this point. Leaving as much of the skin intact, A, is going to help with plucking. B is going to be able to help with torching later. We are going to add a little bit of flame to this business. Plus, I don't necessarily want to start making huge holes that I'm going to have to deal with later, presentation speaking. So by getting that hole big enough that I can fit my hand in, that's all the space that I'm going to need. When I reach in, full open palm, kind of cupping, I can pick, you know, if you're left-handed, right-handed, what doesn't matter. What I'm going to do is I'm going to roll around and I'm actually going to bring out the intestine. I'm going to bring out the gut that is right there. That's going to come out pretty easily. What I do want to be able to do is I want to reach in also, and I'm going to feel something that feels like a baseball. It's going to feel real hard. That's the gizzard. Gizzard is something you may desire to hang on to. A little fried gizzard, a little braised gizzard is really good at restaurants. Had them here from the farm as well. So the liver, as you're pulling that out, you'll know that when you'll see the liver as well. Maybe you want to hold on to that. Maybe you're going to be making a wonderful stock. Maybe you're going to be looking to make a gravy. Liver, gizzard, great to go into that. Continuing to reach up in, you're going to find the heart. You'll feel that little heart up there. It's about the size of like one of the jumbo strawberries. That's what the heart looks like. Also a keeper. Those three things out of the inside. I'm keeping this pretty much a processing episode, so we'll get into detail later when we want to talk about heart, gizzard, and liver. But anyway, those are the three keepers that I would say keeping out of your gut. So now I've got those out. There's going to be the esophagus. That's the esophagus or the trachea that's going to be up in there. You're going to want to reach up, pull as much of that out as possible. Getting everything out of that cavity is going to be good. You could give it a spray out with a little bit of water if you wanted, but at the same time, the goal is going to be dry. For step three, we're going to want this to be as dry as possible. So maybe not introducing a ton of water. If we were going to skip step three, and I'm going to talk about that in just a little bit, if we were going to skip the hanging and drying aspect of it, and you are going to pluck this thing now, and you want to get it into the cooler now, ready to cut up essentially, you could introduce as much water as you want at that point to spray it all out, start working on the outsides. I do know with feathers, the drier they are, the easier they are to pluck because you have grip with that. As soon as you get them wet, it does begin a little bit of a problem. If you've got a scalding setup and a plucker, by all means, you can go on and do that process. You don't need me to help you out. You know what you're doing. But for the guys that are still trying to be able to get that pluck down, we want to keep the outside as dry as possible. So here we are, evisceration, got everything out. Oh, getting back up to the neck. So now we're going to flip the bird back around. We've got one section we want to get out, and that's going to be the crop. So the digestion of a turkey, again, many functions as it goes down. It doesn't have a lot of gut. It has its one grinder being the gizzard, but up near its throat. So if you were to turn the turkey around, you know, he's got his neck down here, but right around it in his chest. They have another sac in there that's going to be where a lot of the saliva is. So as they swallow everything whole, it's mixed in with their saliva, and that's known as the crop. If they've been feeding, it's going to be prominent. You're going to see it in there. It is also very easy to puncture. It's very easy to rip. It's not an end-all, be-all for the cleanliness of your bird. If you rip that crop, all you've done is just given yourself a little bit extra work to clean that out. I would introduce the sprayer just to get everything out of there, or your sink, you know, just get everything out, but then try to get that whole lining of that crop that's out there. Second thing is if you can pull out that crop, that's going to give you some intel on exactly what they are eating on, whether it's going to be it's going to be some greens they're eating on. They could be into some sort of insect larva. They eat a lot, and they eat a wide variety of things. So you could then pinpoint, say you got another tag, you could pinpoint what they are on right at that point to help give you an edge. But getting that crop out is going to be helpful. Crops out, guts out, that's step two. So excellent job getting that bugger ready to go. Step three, we're going to employ a little bit of knowledge from the guru, the godfather, Hank Shaw. He wrote an article, and I'll make sure to get that article link in the show notes. So I'll check that out in the show notes. You're going to want to age this bird for a couple reasons. One, even the size of this animal, being a turkey, is much smaller than a deer, much smaller than a goat, definitely smaller than a pig. By getting some age on that meat, it's going to allow those enzymes, it's going to allow those functions to slowly slow down, go through rigor mortis, and come out the other side, the tender meat that we're looking for. I'm not asking you to age this thing for 7 days, or even the case of, you know, some venison people, they're going 2 weeks, they're going 12 days, or they're even going to go full 14. Like, the longer people are aging stuff, they're finding that things are going to be more tender. With a turkey, you want to add a little bit of age to that bird. If you were to cut right into a bird that was downed right away, if you didn't get from the breast and you were able to, it's going to come out tough. You know, it's going to be tough. Even if you pound it out a little bit, you're going to have a little bit of toothiness with it. And that's, so some people better off to them if they like it that way. Again, it's all on your perspective. But giving maybe 1 to 3 days, 1 to 3 full days of age is going to help you not only in the plucking, and we're going to talk about that now, but it's going to help you in the tenderness of that bird. Let those processes done. Let this thing fully die. let everything shut off. Let all the meat relax. And ultimately, you're going to end up with a better position, better product in the position that you're in. So we're looking at only 1 to 3 days. And we're looking at 45 to 35 degrees. A refrigerator, it would be a wonderful spot for that to be in. Our man Hank Shaw talks about he's hung his up to 3 days, whether he's hung it up by the neck. The other thing is he's merely just put it into a paper bag and stuck it in his refrigerator. That's one way he does that same thing with waterfowl. The paper bag more or less just keeps the surprise down of whoever opens the door. So there's not just this big old bird laying there. Cleanliness of your own refrigerator, I guess. And I'm by all means, am I not saying your full-on kitchen refrigerator. This goes out to the deer and beer fridge. This goes out to the garage fridge. That's where that thing needs to be. But we're giving it 1 to 3 days. Two things, like I just mentioned, tenderness of the meat, and then second is going to be in the ease of plucking. The way that those pin feathers, and well, shoot, all the feathers, not just the pin feathers, are in that skin, the follicle or the, I'm not even sure what to call it, the quill that goes all the way into the skin, it's going to be tight as the bird is living. They obviously doesn't want to lose its feathers. But at the same time, they have the ability to be pulled out. You can pull out those, but it's going to take extra effort. You will find you will be, if you pluck a bird straight out the day you got them, versus letting them age for a day or so, it's going to be much easier. I've come from the world of having a scalder, which quickly relaxes those that skin and actually takes the top layer of skin off, leaving you with a very clean product. And then we go into the plucker. And the plucker is, you know, a big drum that spins. It's got rubber fingers all lining the outside of it. As the feathers lay on the sides of the rubber fingers, they get caught, and that's how they get pulled out. We don't have the ability for that right now. It's you and this bird, and you're going to need 30 minutes tops. You're going to need, you know, 45 minutes. This isn't going to be a whole day. This isn't going to take you forever, but it is going to take some effort. I find that the payout is really good. Paul Campbell of the O2 podcast, he is a turkey fanatic. And as I was preparing for this, he had some things to say. And he said, full on pluck these things. It is worth it. And a guy who's devoted his life to the, you know, success of these turkeys, to pursuing these turkeys and to enjoying these turkeys, he's telling you, pluck it. Hey, take that as gold right there. Take that as all the information you need. We're going to pluck these turkeys. Dry-aged steaks used to be a steakhouse-only indulgence. An old-world charcuterie was pricey due to being imported or created at a small batch-specific scale. Thanks to UmiDry, their synthetic dry-aging bags and casings allow you to create these meat-crafting treats in your own kitchen. Working in tandem with your fridge, the UmiDry bag material allows moisture and air to pass through, making it possible to dry-age large cuts of steaks or roasts. Paired with their curing and seasoning kits, along with safe and easy to follow instructions, salamis and dry sausage are well within your grasp. Use the link in the show notes and sign up for the newsletter to receive 10% off your order. UmiDry, helping us elevate our wild game from the home kitchen. So we've hung them for 3 days. When we get to plucking, I can start anywhere I need to. The backs are going to be a kind of an easy spot to start. You're going to find a little bit more tension in the back of the bird because that's going to be the most exposed to the elements. Those are going to be a little bit thicker feathers versus the wing pits or even the belly. Those are going to come off a little easier, but those are going to be those smaller down style feathers. Those are going to come off real nice. Your wing feathers, those are going to be the toughies. You're going to want to have either like one of those grippy gloves, or if you just have a dry hand, that's going to be super helpful. I've used pliers before, channel locks for the flight feathers. I haven't needed a tool, anything other than just being able to get a hold of those feathers and pull those out. When it comes to the fluff feathers, it's just your straight hand, man. You're grabbing two or three feathers at a time, maybe four or five you can get away with. And the way that the pluck is going to work is as I pinch those feathers, I obviously pull away, but I also want to roll my wrist. So it's a roll action. And as I'm plucking, I'm rolling my wrist. I grab and then I pull away and then I let those go. I would suggest getting them into some sort of receptacle. Oh my goodness. Because it doesn't look like there's a lot of feathers on the turkey, but they are going to almost triple, maybe quadruple in size because of all these feathers now just roaming around. So if you do this in your house, you best get those inside. Even if you do this on your porch, you don't want feathers just flying all over the place. Get those down into a trash can. But I'm going to continue to do that pluck on all those feathers. There's going to be the pin feathers that are on there. I wouldn't worry about those yet. We got a way that we're going to get to those here in just a minute. But I'm going to pluck all those feathers out. When it gets to the wing, I would pluck the drumette, basically the section that's in the arm, and the mid. Those two sections of the wing are going to give you the highest yield per work. The wing tips, if you wanted those wing tips, you could get them. You could pick all those feathers off. Those are going to be some of the most seated in feathers, because those aren't the cruise control feathers out the back. Those are actually those flick feathers. Those are going to be the suckers that do a lot of work, and they are embedded in deep. So you're going to have to do some extra work to get that. Taking the tips off, I think, is going to be okay. If you had to throw something out, that can be what you want to do. I do know that there are guys getting more and more into actual flight feathers when it comes to making their arrows, and some of the flight feathers off these wild turkeys, that's where you're going to find some of the stiffest stiffest feathers are there. There's going to be trad guys that want to keep their tips. I mean, they're going to take them off, but they're going to keep those wing feathers so that they can, you know, make their fletchings. So yeah, we got rid of that, the tips. We're not going to worry about doing those for the kitchen. We're going to pop those off. We've got plenty of other little morsels we're going to be able to get after. But going for a full pluck on the back, on those wings, all along the legs, all the way down the drumsticks, you're going to want to be able to take those off. This is also a point, too, that if you wanted to keep the fan, this is the time to take off the Pope's nose. That's what they refer to. The turkey tail, just that little section that's going to hold the fan. If you're keeping the fan, go ahead and score and cut that meat. Then follow up with a saw or a hatchet or whatever you've got to just plop through that. It's just merely a vertebrae that you're having to pop, but you can take that off and get that to your, you know, whatever taxidermist you're going to do, whether you're doing it yourself or if you're going to take that to somebody, then you've got that there. If you're going to leave it on, if you're going to end up actually taking the tail feathers off, so off with the tail feathers, you're leaving the Pope's nose connected, there is going to be an oil gland at their tail. And you'll see that sucker, it'll be belly side. So you'll, once again, you flip the bird upside down and you'll see where that little sac is. You're going to want to take that off, because that's going to start to secrete some of those oils as it relaxes. Doesn't really taste the best when it comes to cooking. You're going to want to take those oil sacs out. For the most part, I think everybody's going to use those fans on their wall. So go ahead and leave that, or take that tail off. Get that into, you know, the freezer for your taxidermist. Or I'm not even sure how if you have to splay it out and let it dry that way. Just take care of it the way you've been able to take care of it. Again, I'm taking stuff to the kitchen. Taxidermy is not my forte. What else do I have in my notes? We talked about Hank Shaw's article on aging. He does a whole piece on that. With waterfowl, they talk about this idea of like mystery oil. And the longer that it ages, the more the flavors develop by leaving the gut in. But again, these are the small birds we're talking. These are the upland birds we're talking. Pheasants in particular. We're a little beyond pheasant world at this point. We're looking at, I mean, these birds can get big. Tom's as big as like 20, 25 pounds. Yeah, that's a lot of meat going on here. We don't want to leave the gut in here. That's open for spoilage. So getting that gut out and being able to age these things. Keeping them dry again, like I mentioned, that's going to be the key for a dry pluck in the name. Let's say you don't have the fridge and you're going to put this in a cooler just to keep cold, and then you're going to revisit it, you know, and let it air dry once in a while. You know, it's not in there forever. Tops 3 days. Make sure you get it above your melt water. You don't want this to fall down into the melt water. Maybe cover the bag, maybe the ice, maybe cover it with some sort of plastic bag so that you can then lay the bird in there. I would leave the bird open air in the cooler. That might be helpful. But allow that melt water to be able to like wick away, or you know, move down some sort of slope. Maybe it can go out the drain. But that's going to be in that situation, keeping that bird dry, because that's going to be helpful both with bacteria and with being able to pluck that bird. Oh, yeah. Now we're into the torch part. Now we're introducing some flames into the whole thing. What I'm doing is I'm going to take a blowtorch, your normal run-of-the-mill blowtorch, and I'm going to then sweep that over top of the bird And that's going to get those pin feathers that now I'm so frustratingly upset with because I can't seem to get them with, you know, just with your two fingers. You can't seem to get them with tweezers. They're just, at that point, they're slick, they're thin. They have these little hairs, the other one, you're going to find those big time in the wing pits and in the, near the crotches of the legs. There's just a lot of those really itty bitty bitty feathers. And by taking a flame and then sweeping it across your now plucked turkey, that's going to singe all of those hairs. It's going to singe all of those feathers that they're not going to be a problem. The root of those feathers is not very big. And kind of like the Y bones of a pike, when you pickle the pike, they kind of dissolve in there. When you cook these birds, normally you're not eating a ton of the skin, but if you were, those quills are going to then essentially just fall apart inside of the skin. They're not going to offer you any sort of crunch, or they're not going to be a problem. They're going to end up falling apart. But at the same time, you want to take off as much as you can off the get-go. So by being able to get all of those off, you're going to be left with a fairly clean looking bird. And as far as the pluck too, let's say you've got holes where shot went in, especially up near the neck. You're gonna run the risk of tearing. Same thing with guys running arrows through the sides of the birds. You're gonna find that you're really making some holes and it's gonna tear the skin. When you're going with your pluck, then you were at, you know, speedily going along 4 or 5 feathers at a time, really making ground, you get to some one of these wounds, back down to 2 or 3. Even if it's just a single one at that point, we're not going anywhere fast. You got yourself a garage beer. You got yourself a recliner chair. You got yourself a nice little sunny day. No one's going anywhere fast. Slow it back down. Go back to 1 or 2 feathers around those wound areas. And that's going to help reduce the amount of tearing. Turkeys are resilient. Turkeys are robust. It's going to take a lot to tear skin, but by backing down nearing some of those areas, it's going to be much easier to do. If you're fluent in plucking pheasants, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Those things are paper thin, and shoot, if you look at pheasant skin long enough, it tears. So you're going to be really happy to have this turkey skin as thick as it is. But anyway, to be concerned around those blood areas. At this point, it's kind of ready for being a whole turkey at this point. You are going to want to take off the neck. The neck, I would take that off as close to the shoulders as you can of the bird, getting it as close to that breast as possible, just for the sake of making things look nice. Score the meat again. And then come by, whether you got a saw, whether you got a hatchet, it's just going through vertebrae at this point. It's just kind of a funny shaped bone, so it doesn't. I mean, a saw is gonna. Once you get it started, it'll come off. A nice hatchet or shoot my chopper. Where'd my chopper go? I think it's actually up in the kitchen. But if you got a cleaver works awesome. You just drop that sucker, and it'll be off at that point. But the neck offers a lot of value. If you've gone with your archery equipment and you've shot a bird and you have a full intact neck, take the head off at that apex vertebrae and then as close as you can, and you got yourself a stock maker. You got yourself a soup maker. You think that chicken noodle soup is good? You try turkey neck soup. I made, actually it was... It was French onion soup, but I incorporated off bits of a turkey, including the neck. And instead of pulling the meat, I mean, I pulled the meat out. That was going to be the traditional route with the French onion. I decided I'm leaving that meat in. I actually picked the neck. I picked those off bits that I put in. And I tell you what, that is a soup maker right there. If you enjoy a hearty soup, if you enjoy a wonderful chicken noodle, this is going to make your turkey noodle go through the roof. So keep that neck. Put that with the heart. Put that with the gizzard. Put that with the liver, because that's going to be a keeper pile right there. Again, I'm going to focus on processing. We will get into culinary stuff at a later date. So we've got our whole bird here. Oh, we got to take off the knee. We got to take the feet off. Totally forgot about the feet. Just like a deer, you can go right to that knuckle. The knee is basically just two bones coming right together. You just have to find that point where to be able to put your knife blade. So I would start on the backside, take the tip, scratch that open, and you're going to find those tendons. Cut those tendons, and the more that you do that, you're going to be able to pop that joint right there, open it up, take that right on off. Easy peasy. Now that those are off, you've got rounded knuckles, which is going to be helpful for your freezer bag. You've got skin intact, which is going to also be helpful for protecting the meat from freezer burn, say you lose your vac, and it's going to help moisten that meat if you were to put it right there into the roaster because it's got the natural fat underneath. Skin on is the way to go when it comes to full utilization of those birds. Now we can start breaking this bird down. We know that skin is going to be helpful, so we're going to keep our skin on at this point. We're also I'm going to work on my way down from the biggest, and I'm going to work all the way down to the smallest bits. So we've already got it plucked. We've got the legs off. We've got the neck off. We've got the gut on the outside. We've got the feathers off. We've torched all the pin feathers, and we are now left with the traditional whole turkey. If you are looking for the Norman Rockwell Thanksgiving, where you're bringing out that golden bird, that's where this story ends for you. If you want to keep your bird whole, that's exactly what I would do with it. If you were at the beginning steps where you cut your vent hole and then you happen to make a separate hole, leaving a skin strap, you could then fold the drumsticks in and tuck those under the skin flap. And so now you're using that skin flap as a way to hold that bird together. It stands them up. It props those legs in. It just has a presentation that blows people's minds. But at the same time, you're left with your traditional whole bird. So that could be the end of your story. I'm going to take it further. The further we're going to go is we're now going to spatchcock this bird. Yes, spatchcock is a fun word. I would encourage you to use it as much as possible. What spatchcocking is merely taking the backbone out of this bird. And I'm now laying the meat quarters, the meat sections, and I'm going to be laying that flat. So if my pinkies were the backbone, I'm taking that backbone out and being able to lay him flat. Let's say I had a smoker that was wide. You got a plug-in Traeger. Let's hope the power doesn't go out. Let's make sure you got all your pellets, you know, in there, the right specific pellets, and you're using that Traeger. You can now use as much surface area as you possible. The spatchcock is going to help you. Let's say we're going to put it directly onto your grill. Your grill, again, wide basin of either charcoal or gas. A spatchcock bird is going to do wonders because now it's flat. It's laying flat on there. It leaves the skin on, opens up the cavity on the inside so that you can still get a rub in. You can get a brine in. You can go any different direction. All we're doing is taking something round and flatten him out. So what I want to do is I want to flip that bird essentially like he's standing up. So I want breast down, I want back up, vertebrae up, and I'm going to take my knife and I'm going to score both sides. I want to stay maybe a half inch off center. You know, that backbone ain't very big. But I want to get on each side of that and I want to score the meat. Meat doesn't work very well in snips. Meat doesn't work very well in saws, gums everything up. I want to get right to the bones. And essentially what I'm going to be able to do is cut off where the connection point of the ribs are going to be at. So if you've got, some heavy duty snips, garden snips that you use to take down like little saplings or larger branches, those would be really good. And you can run those down each side of the rib and you can then release that side. If you wanted to use a hacksaw or you had a butcher saw, go right ahead with one of those. Start at the one end. I would take a towel and put it under the bird and then set the bird on top of the towel. That's going to give you a little bit of stability and a little bit of grip. But then you can run that saw down that same score line that you made, removing that backbone. Backbone into the stock putt. Don't toss it. lot to glean from that. Turkeys offer a wealth of fatty goodness, even the wild ones, when it comes to stock making. So I would not get rid of that. Definitely keep that backbone for that purpose. So we've got the backbone cut. I pull that out. It's still kind of holding its shape a little bit because of that keel bone that runs right along that sternum. That sternum of theirs is quite thick. That's what it's going to be holding those breast lobes together. That's that connection point for their powerful wing. You can then run a saw up that. You can just cut one of the lobes free of that, and that's going to allow you then to flip cut side down, give it a CPR push, and that's going to flatten that bird right on out. At that point, put on whatever seasonings you want to it, hike it to the grill, hike it to the Traeger, throw it in a brine, a lot of different ways to go with it. We kept the skin on. It's still a bone-in piece, so that meat has something to hold on to as it's cooking. And again, we've got most of the utilization on this. We have all the meat present. Drumsticks, we've got thighs, we've got breast, we got tenderloin. It is all still present at this point. Going on a little bit further, let's say you wanted half to do one way and half to do another. You wanted to save one for actually Thanksgiving, but you wanted to use half that bird for now. What we've done is half the job of a spatchcock. The spatchcocking is half the job of halving a bird, if that makes any sense. So I've taken the backbone out. The only thing connecting this whole thing together is the keel bone. Again, I could run a saw all the way through that, and that's going to separate that into two equal halves. Even if I just run my blade down, leaving the keel bone on one half and one half not having the keel bone, that works out well. I could actually take the keel bone right on out if I wanted to get make sure both sides were the same. I could run that I could run it that way. But now I'm left with half of that turkey. And with a half a turkey, you still get a pretty good size meal. You're not feeding, let's say you're not feeding a ton of people. Let's say you don't want to use all of your bird in one sitting. Using half of your bird still gets you the ability to have your dark meat, your white meat, all your tidbits that are in there, but you just get one of them. And that's a great way to be able to use that to spread that harvest out. They also vac way nicer than a spatchcock bird because that is such a big thing. It's easier to freeze than a whole turkey because it's round and ob-shaped. Now you've got something that's flat, something that's going to sit in that freezer a little nicer. It's going to vac up in a residential size bag a little bit nicer. I would find some sort of like either extra bag or whatever you want to cover some of those cut ribs and those cut bones that we have on there. Those do puncture and we'll get the vac out of your bag, leaving you, you know, maybe a little bit of room for freezer burn. But by making sure that you put something over those so that it is not digging into the bag, that's going to keep your vac. That's going to make sure that your half bird stays really nice. Keeping the skin on, also going to lessen the amount of freezer burn if it were to puncture in the bag. So again, we're back again to leaving the skin on. That is a good thing. So we've gone through, I didn't label them out. So step five was spatchcock. Step six was going to be the half bird. Step seven, we're getting to parting out our turkey. We left one half in the freezer. It's in the freezer. We're going to use that another time. I now want to use the separate parts of my half bird. First thing I'm going to notice is as I'm boning out this bird, as I'm beginning to take off the breast of this bird, that whole breast lobe, the inside, there is a small piece of white meat, almost like a different muscle. In fact, it does a little bit of the tuning of the arm. We refer to that as the tenderloin. It looks very much like a venison tenderloin or a pork tenderloin in that shape where it's got a thick end and then it tweedles its way on out. It's not in the exact position, but that's what we've named it. It does connect at a very thick tendon on the wide end. So as you're cutting that lobe off, you'll actually separate that tendon, and you'll be able to peel out that tenderloin. That tenderloin is very lean. That tenderloin does not take a lot to cook. It will cook fast. That is a very fast cooking muscle. It doesn't, and it gets to, you know, get it to your safe temp, whatever that temp's going to be for you, and I would leave it there. You can overcook that very easily. That is a great piece for marinating. That is a great piece for brining. Once you've removed that thick tendon, it does go down into the meat a little bit. I actually cut like an inch of the head of that tenderloin off, and then I will then take the meat off either side of that tendon, and that'll just be for my trim. That'll be for ground or whatever I'm trying to make later. But now I'm left with a really good piece that I can use. I've got a recipe on how to make a marinated griller, and that's on the Sportsman's Empire blog. If you look on there, you'll be able to find it. Maybe I can find that link and also put that in the show notes. But having that on hand is a great way to use those tenderloins. Skin on breast is what I've just now taken off, and that is a beautiful piece to do a lot with. I could roast that thing whole. I could brine it, throw it in the roaster, and, you know, season it with whatever number of seasonings that I want to go with. That's going to be a home run right there. If I wanted to smoke a whole piece that I can then slice up later for some amazing smoked turkey, that's going to be your cut right there, is that whole lobe. So I've got the lobe off. I've got the tenderloin off. I'm left with the dark meat section. And as I move down to the dark meat section, I'm going to want to first disconnect from the carcass itself. I want to find that joint where the thigh is at. I don't want to start the drumstick yet. We'll get to the drumstick here in a little bit. But I want to then cut in as high up into that carcass as I can, pop that joint, and be able to get all that dark meat off the carcass and leave that on the thigh. The thigh is my favorite cut of turkey. I'm a dark meat guy through and through. Thigh, I prize that very much. I love to smoke the thigh. I love to braise the thigh. I did a sous vide. I did a 36-hour sous vide domestic turkey thigh that once I pulled it out, I slid that thing in the broiler, and the golden crust that I got on that skin, I sliced that thing up. It was like butter, baby. Oh, it was dang good. I'm a thigh guy through and through. So I want to make sure that you are gleaning as much as you can off that dark meat. Once I'm able to take that off, the thigh only has the femur. It only has the one bone that's in there. And that connects to with a knee joint. Again, a very easy joint to cut to the drumstick. The drumstick is probably a nemesis of a lot of turkey hunters. Some people really love them. Some people really don't. Oh, they're too gamey. They're too sinewy. They're tough. Again, with any cut, when it comes to being the end-all be-all of how that animal transports itself around, it's going to be the toughest. Look at any shank that you get off a deer or off any four-legged creature. Double that now, because these turkeys don't have another muscle to do that. They have two legs. They don't have four. They're also a little bit lighter. They have hollow bones. I mean, to each their own. But at the same time, you can glean a lot of those off. Smoking and low and slow on those drumsticks is going to be good. Sous vide for the 36 hours or for the 48 hours, however long you want to make it, that's going to be an awesome way to use that. So we've parted that all out. Drumsticks, thigh, breast, tenderloin. That all comes off of one half. You could part that all out, do your individual cuts, seal them the way that you want to, or use them individually. But it offers you a wealth of variety when it comes to doing it that way. And finally, step 8. I want to normalize ground turkey. I want to not have people, again, look at ground turkey as a mistake. I've come around. I used to be a guy that ground was throwing in the towel. Making ground was a cop-out. You know, who needs that much ground? Who's going to put all these roasts in the ground and yada, yada, yada? having kids, I now know that ground meat is versatile. Ground meat is delicious. And who am I to look down upon ground meat? Shame on me. I've been enlightened. I've repented. And now I spread the good news. Ground meat in turkey, ground turkey meat, is super lean. So it's going to be one of those things you're going to need a binder. You're going to have to add an egg. You're going to have to add a breadcrumb to hold that together. But at the same time, the flavor that you're going to get off that is going to be like bar none, so good. You're going to be blown away at how good it can be. This takes the stuff that you get out of the grocery store, shoot, and kicks it to the curb. You're going to get a wealth of deliciousness off this. The style of ground that I'm hoping that you would do would be a 50-50 blend, white meat, dark meat. No, we will not be using the drumsticks in this. The drumstick into grind can happen. It's going to take a little knife work on your end. You want to keep as much of the sinews and tendons out of that. So that is going to be some knife work. If you look at a thigh has one bone in it. It's got a lot of connective tissue holding a bunch of muscle groups together. That's going to not have a lot of tendons to it. That's going to not have a lot of sinews to it. It is pretty much dark meat ready to go. So I would skin my dark meat. I would debone that dark meat, take that one bone out, and then I could cube it up. I would take the weight of that, and then I would match it to a section. Probably I would go with the point end of that breast, the narrower end. I would find a cut, and I would weigh it out, and I'd see if I could get equal to the weight that I have the dark meat. Add a little more, add a little less, your decision on that. Cube that up, get it really cold, run it through the grinder, mix it up, run it through the grinder again. And then you have yourself a very healthy option when it comes to wild game and having some burger. Turkey also pairs really well with citrus. So if you wanted to do some sort of citrus add-on to your burger that you're making, I've also found that like Granny Smith apples do awesome in burgers. Whether you take a slice of the Granny Smith and put it on your apple, or chunk up the apple as you're making your patties, that is a surprise waiting to happen. That is a pop of flavor right there between the dark meat, white meat, and a little bit of like chunked up apple inside of that burger. If you haven't tried that yet, that's going to be something you're going to want to do. And that would finally conclude my eighth step, is going ground 50-50. So I hope in this past 50 minutes that I have brought a wealth of knowledge to you. Whether this is going to be you checking off those steps, what step do I have to do next? What step do I have to do next? Or whether it's just giving you options with your bird. You're like, I was just going to skin it. But you tell me that plucking it is going to be the way that I need to go. And that opens the door to spatchcocking. That opens the door to a half bird. That opens the door to parting these things out or getting wonderful ground off of this bird. This just opens up the possibilities. This just highlights your harvest. This takes your effort and this takes your hard work in the woods and manifests itself on the table. Who doesn't love that? Who doesn't love saying, hey, I have more of that turkey that I worked on in my freezer and I'd love to share it with someone? We didn't even open the door yet on the culinary venture that we can go with all these. We just merely set ourselves up for greatness. So as you head out into that turkey woods, make sure that your call, whether it's going to be a slate or a mouthpiece, you've got that on point. They can tell. Make sure that your camouflage is treated against the wicked ticks. Make sure that the tree that you're going to be sitting up next to is maybe just a little bit wider than you. I got to find myself a pretty big oak in order to hide down in that brush. But when it comes to finally getting that harvest and bringing that bird home, whatever you're going to use to field dress and eventually be able to break down, make sure that blade that you are using is very sharp.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.